Welcome, everyone. For those of you that do not know me, my name is Eric Jorgensen. I am the founder of Special Needs Navigator. I started Special Needs Navigator to help families, individuals, and caregivers navigate the maze of benefits, resources, and services. Today, I have with me Debbie Neiman from Hope Trust. Hope Trust is rethinking the way trust services are provided, taking a more concierge approach to where their clients are really being treated with white glove service. And Debbie's going to talk to you about that, what Hope Trust does, what makes them different. And I'm really excited to get into this. We're going to start with an introduction to Debbie, give a quick overview of Hope Trust itself, and then we're going to dive into the specifics that make Hope Trust so much different than a pooled trust or a special needs trust you might get from an attorney, and then you have to go find a trustee for. So we're gonna touch on the care plan. We're gonna touch on the trust services that Hope Trust will provide because they are still a trust company. And then we're gonna also talk about how Hope Trust can work with you if you don't have a financial advisor, or if you're not sure that you want to use a financial advisor when you're gone to manage the funds that you leave to the trust. With that being said, let's welcome Debbie. Thank you for coming. Debbie is the Vice President of Financial Service Integrations with Hope Trust. Before this, she was a financial advisor at Northwestern Mutual. Some of you may know that I was a financial advisor with Northwestern Mutual as well. Do not take that as a reason to think Northwestern is bad. It just wasn't good for either of us. And she has her Chartered Special Needs Consultant designation, meaning she's well-versed in working with families who have children with disabilities, and she herself is a mom. So Debbie, welcome and thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me. Well, I'm excited to be here. As you mentioned, I am not just a mom, but I'm also a mom of a child with special needs. So I don't just know about this space professionally. I know about it very personally, especially right now in these interesting times as we have limited some of our caregiving that comes into the house. And my child has a lot of issues, just so people are aware, or maybe they seem a little more human or real. I do have a 16-year-old as well as two other children, but my 16-year-old was born 3 months premature. She has cerebral palsy and a lot of complex medical issues. And so, the hospital, one of the hospitals in town, is really our second home. I always joke, like, hey, that's not a good place to resort. But my daughter seems to think so, usually, 1 to 4 times a year. We do live like that, but I do understand, at least maybe not people, other people's specific things that are going on, but I do know what it's like to get up in the morning. And a lot of times it's the first thing I think about is what happens to my daughter if something happens to me. It's the last thing I think about before I go to bed at night. And a lot of time it's what I'm laying in bed thinking about is who's going to do all the stuff that I'm doing and her not be a huge burden or have my other two children's lives be altered in trying to help their sister.
And if I remember correctly, Debbie, you said that was a big reason why you joined Hope Trust, is because they really get it. They really have a passion for helping parents like you.
It really was. I really enjoyed my practice at Northwestern Mutual. It was mostly, most of my clients had a child with special needs. I can count on 2 hands the clients who didn't. So I really loved what I was doing, but there was a piece of it that I still couldn't meet when I was there. And that's why I joined Hope Trust, is that we'd finally get the financial piece taken care of and we get the special needs trust piece taken care of. But then usually the primary caregiver would turn to me and say, okay, well, even with all the money in the world, though, who's going to actually do what I'm doing and fill my shoes? And that's where I didn't have an answer. I do have an answer for that now. And so that's why I came over to Hope Trust. Not only do they provide that kind of day-to-day hand-holding, the stuff that takes a lot of time, it can relieve stress for other family members who are left behind to help support the individual with disabilities, but it also can promote some independence of the individual with disabilities as well. So between the tool, between the concierge services that we offer, and then giving that peace of mind of having a truly comprehensive plan that ties the everything together, the legal aspect, the financial aspect, and everything. That's what I really love about Hope Trust.
And that's a good segue into the care plan. And so when I first heard about the care plan, I think my thought was, well, it's just a letter of intent, but it's so much more than that, right, Debbie?
It really is. And so I had one individual I was talking to, a financial advisor who works in this space, who said the same thing. And then after they looked at it, they said, oh my gosh, that's actually a letter of intent times 10,000 on steroids. And it really is. It's more than just, hey, this is my kid, and here's, you know, what I want to make sure happens when I'm no longer here. I mean, it goes into everything. Our intake process has a survey. It's a smart survey. So based on whatever answer you give to one question, that's what the next few questions will determine what the next few questions. But our survey has over 6,000 questions in it. Nobody answers all of them. you would have to have every diagnosis, every kind of thing. But it goes so far into looking at, you know, where does this person like to have their clothes bought, if that's something that's important to them. You know, what are good gift ideas? What are triggers for behavior for this individual? Where's a good place to start an IV? It's all the stuff that most of us, I'll use my example, mom, you know, have in my head. Dad may not even know some of the answers to these questions, but it sure as heck would be helpful.
Right. And then trying to do that in a letter of intent where you've got this 14-page document sitting in front of you, it looks intimidating.
It is.
But when we go on your website, it's just type an answer. And it's like a choose your own adventure novel from back dating myself the 80s, where you could kind of...
It really is. And the thing that's nice about it is that it's not usually, and I tell families this when I sit down, hey, this isn't something you're going to knock out in an hour or two. This is something you're going to initially probably spend 30 minutes a night as you're watching the news and putting some information in, and then go back to it in a day or two. It's going to take a while, but it's not just that. It's going to evolve over time. When we think about our kids, even a year ago, 5 years ago, in 6 months from now, who knows? But something is always changing. Always. There's always something new. We all are that way. Well, this allows it to be readily available, not just on your laptop, but on your mobile phone, which I don't know about you, but we always have that with us. And as you're, you know, something new comes up, or you have a doctor's appointment, or, you know, who knows what, you're having that phone conversation. And it's like, you know what, this would be something that would be really good to make sure it's written down somewhere. So if something happened to me, well, it's right there. And you boom, 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 right when you're thinking about it. Cause I know for myself as being a mom, if I don't do things right then, and it's not convenient and quick, it's probably not going to happen. I might think about it later, but I will be in the middle of something and forget. So having that mobile component also helps make it readily available. We allow the person who sets it up to put different users and give them different privilege rights. So take, for example, my daughter, her dad would want to have, I would want to give him all access, but maybe as she gets older and she has a group home leader at wherever she's living, well, I would want them to have some of that information, but they certainly don't need to be having all of the personal information, her social security number and all that kind of stuff. So I would give them, grant them the right kind of access level so they have the information so they can support her, so they're not calling me every 5 minutes when she's not living at home anymore, but that they can care for her well. So it's not just for a when I die kind of scenario. It's also getting our stuff organized for now, but also so that there's some good care planning going in place so that you don't have to feel like I'm the only one. I know I have said in the past, and I've heard many families say this, I can never die because if something happens to me, how is all this going to happen? Well, this finally gets it out of your head and where it needs to be. It's not just, you know, if we really think about, you know, the IEPs and the, you know, the other important documents, whether it's guardian paperwork or any of that stuff. I mean, half the time, who walks around with a paper file anymore? Nobody. And when do you need it? At any given time. Well, this way you can put all the documents also in one place. They're organized. You can put what kind of privilege, who can see them and who can't at every single document level. And it's right there. And again, you have it accessible to your phone. So, you know, if your kid has an ambulance called and they're over 18 and you need to show you're the guardian, well, boom, here it is right here, ready to go. Now the doctor can talk to you. You're not running home or trying to call somebody. Hey, can you run by my house, go get the guardianship paperwork or get over there, take a picture, send it to me. it's all right there. I mean, there's such a level of peace and just a lower level of stress. And let's be honest, all of us families in this club, I call that have children with special needs, we would all love a dose of a little less stress.
Amen. And you know, we're gonna go into the trust services, but I want to highlight for families that the care plan can be a standalone. Hey, you know, we're not ready to do the trust. We're not ready to fund the trust. We don't need financial management because we don't have any money to put in the trust. But they can go ahead and set that care plan up right now, right? I mean, that's accurate, right?
Absolutely. And I would recommend it. I've had so many families say, well, when do I start doing this type of planning, whether it's the financial planning or the trust planning or doing the care planning? You know what? Pick something and just do it. The care plan, I think, is probably going to be one of the biggest things you can do, because again, that information so that your child is cared for if you get hit, taken out by the proverbial bus, that there isn't this whole trying to recreate the wheel or, gosh, who's their therapist? I mean, that's one of the jokes that I always made with my kid's dad. Do you even know who her providers are? Do you know where we get her XYZ and which pharmacies we use? And he was like, no, yeah. That might be helpful.
No, I mean, I was there when my wife died, 8 years ago. I got a crash course. And then we didn't have a special needs trust set up either. And that's a good segue into the trust services that Hope Trust can provide for. So you can be the trustee for a third party or a first party, but the preference is third party trust, right? Did I say that right, Debbie?
Yes, you did. And the reason is because third party have less kind of limitations and regulations around them. And it really lets us really step into that role of supporting the individual more on that. I think what most parents think of when they think of what they want from a trustee, it's less of the kind of arm's length, just bureaucratic paperwork kind of thing, processing. We're more than that. We have a social worker on staff. We have a doctor of nursing. We have a doctor of psychology. These are individuals who are not bankers. These are individuals who are not financial advisors. We have those on our staff as well. But these are the people that are going to be interacting, our care team, who are going to be interacting with the beneficiary of the trust, which is the individual with special needs, who may be able to make a phone call and say, hey, I need something. But they're not able to do the processing of that trust and the financial and maybe coordinating all that care, what that takes. That's where our staff really comes up. If you have a bank as a trustee, not that that's a bad thing, but let me tell you, generally speaking, the banker's not getting in the car and going over to that individual with disabilities to see what's up. They're not making the phone call to the individual with disabilities and having the patience or even the know-how of, okay, this person is repeating the same thing over again and I can't figure out what they need. Our staff is actually trained for that because their primary job is in serving this community. With the trustee services, we've got the staff, the business people in the back office there to support them to do the processing of the money and getting those things done, but they're there actually interfacing with the individual.
Awesome. And when somebody sets up a trust, do they need to work with an attorney to get the trust set up and then come to Hope Trust, or do they work with Hope Trust to get the trust document set up?
Okay, so great question. So we have the capability through our care plan, you can actually add on drafting this correct kind of special needs trust for the individual and for the family. There are several different types of special needs trusts. It depends on assets and estate and so many other things that I'm not going to get into here, but we take on an intake process. The Special Needs Alliance reviewed our intake process and our draft that comes out. And so it is a very rigorous, if you will. So it's kind of like sitting down with an attorney without having to actually sit down with an attorney. So you can actually get the draft of a special needs trust from us. We recommend, because we are not attorney, we do have attorneys on staff, but we are not here to, because estate planning laws change or vary by state, we recommend that families then take the draft, if they already have an estate planning attorney or a relationship, then take it to them. But if they need a referral, we will refer them to partners that we have made relationships with who work specifically with special needs trusts, and they'll review and help them execute that trust for a workout fee that we have worked with those referral partners.
And that saves the family a lot of time and headache and pressure, maybe money, maybe not. I mean, it's not none of this is going to be inexpensive or, in air quotes, cheap, right? I mean, you're asking professionals to really take the time to make sure that your the one that you love, your loved one, is provided for. And I personally take a little bit of umbrage, a little bit of offense when people are looking for the cheapest, fastest way to go. Because yes, you could go to LegalZoom or you could go to one of those other services, but then when the problems arise, it's not while you're alive. The problems come up after you're gone and you're not there to solve the problem.
Well, and I have always, even when I was a financial advisor at Northwestern Mutual, I advise clients, this is not the time to reach out to your brother-in-law who's a divorce attorney. This is a sub-specialty special needs trust. This is not when you go, oh, well, I get legal services as part of my employee benefits package for free through work, or I pay, you know, a nominal fee through work. That they're not going to be the specialist you need. You need somebody specific. Just the same as, you know, gosh, if your kid had a rare cardiac issue, you don't go to the pediatrician to get served there. You don't go to even the cardiologist. You go to the specialist who knows your kid's rare thing. Right. And this is kind of one of those areas. So you get what you pay for, really, when it comes to this. And if you don't do it right, there can be a lot of consequences to it and that are traumatic for the individual who survives you. And usually that's our kiddo with special needs. And that's the whole point of doing this planning, is so that their life stays the same or improves when we're no longer here. Not that they are in a worse off situation. That's the last thing we want for our kids.
No, I agree, Debbie. And I like the fact that Hope Trust recommends families go and consult with an attorney rather than saying, oh, you're good to go. I mean, I think it highlights what you just said, that using your analogy, a pediatrician may see the child, but they're going to send a referral out to that other doctor, right? And so I really like that. And so Hope Trust can, you know, typically, and a lot of times what will happen, you mentioned banks, a lot of the banks want to manage the money, but they have minimums of $1 million or more, maybe $2 million or $5 million or more, depending on the size of the bank and the trust company. When we start talking about financial management, is there a minimum for Hope Trust to serve as a trustee?
I don't know if we have an actual established minimum. Obviously, there's going to be a fee associated with when we do trust administration, and that would be anywhere from 85 to 95 basis points of the amount or the value of the trust. You know, so for the family who is looking at that, that's where they're going to have to determine if that makes sense for them or not. I mean, you and I both know, you know, pooled special needs trusts serve their role, but that's probably going to be for those very small kinds of trusts that are, you know, less than $100,000 and things where that might make better sense for them. For us, you know, really, banks really like the really big, usually 2 million or more. And you're starting to see, because there's been so many lawsuits around special needs trusts not being managed well by the banks, they're starting to increase the minimum of what they'll take. We're really for that middle kind of section and higher. You know, we'll take the big ones, don't get me wrong, but really serving those people that have, you know, the $750,000 trust, the $1 million trust, that are really just trying to make sure their kid's taken care of. Maybe they have them in a group home that most things are provided, but they want to provide some extra with their lifestyle. They want to make sure that, you know, maybe they get a vacation once a year or twice a year, or that they're still involved in traveling with Special Olympics, those kinds of things. We can handle all of those kinds of things, and really giving that individual with disabilities, you know, the not just the support, but the treatment and respect that they deserve, because we know this market so well, and because so many of us have a direct family member who has special needs. So it's not, for all of us that work at Hope Trust, it's not just a profession. It's very personal for all of us. We're very passionate in what we do.
No, absolutely. I mean, I got that when I met with you guys the first time. And with regards to the, you know, you said $750,000 or more. And I'm thinking, when I was in the Navy, I never could have imagined having $750,000 of assets, because I was supporting two households. But what I want to remind people is, like me, most of that money is probably going to come from a life insurance policy. It's not going to be something that you have in a bank account. And like me, back when I was in the Navy, you probably, or you may not have a financial advisor. So you may not already be working with somebody that's managing your money, because maybe it's in your 401k, your work 401k, or your TSP if you're government, or a 403b if you're nonprofit, and you don't have any, you don't need anybody to manage your money.
Right. And that's where, you know, I've had questions so many times from family members. One of the big questions we get is, well, how much is it going to cost to support my loved one? Won't Medicaid take care of everything? I often remind families, Medicaid will likely provide the bare basics on the best of days. Let's not forget which programs usually get the first cuts when there are budget cuts, and we'll see those next year, I'm sure. Medicaid's one of the big ones. And so it will provide what it barely has to at the best of scenarios. It's not going to provide the lifestyle that the individual wants, and it's not going to do the day-to-day. And that's really where life insurance for families that have a child with special needs, unless there's extreme wealth, and usually that's only 1 or 2% of the U.S. population could actually afford to private pay for everything their kid would need, whether it's a group home or caregiving or supported living and all their health care. You know, Medicaid's going to be a piece of the puzzle, of course, but if you want additional or certain lifestyle or certain nice to haves, that's not going to be provided by the government when they have really tight budgets and a big population they're trying to support. And that's where life insurance really can come in. And so that's where we have a tool also that helps families build what is the budget. And let's not forget, and this is a piece that I had so many parents turn to me and say, but it doesn't cost that much to support my kid right now, because parents forget all the stuff they're doing for their kid for free. That is not going to be the case when you're not here anymore, unless you expect another family member to stop everything they're doing so that they can now take on this. And if you're lucky and have a huge family that's willing to do that, great. But I know for, you know, many families, you know, one of my biggest concerns is that my other two children would have to change a career or have their family life changed or altered, because they're now, instead of being just a sibling to their sister, and yes, I expect them to oversee her caregiving and be involved, but now they're doing the day-to-day, around the clock, never ending, always intense kind of stuff. So with life insurance, we can really sit down, or if you have other assets, look at, okay, how much of this can be used towards the trust? And then is there a gap? And if there's a gap, how much is it? And we're going to look at both with and without government benefits. Not that government benefits are going away, but you never know. How does somebody qualify? How much are they? They will change over somebody's time, just like somebody's expenses. And when we look at somebody, let's say with Down syndrome, what is common with Down syndrome? Early onset Alzheimer's. And so you may not have your child die really young when you have Down syndrome, but if they get early onset dementia at 40 or 50, and now you're paying for some kind of memory care for the next 10 to 20 years, well, that's a pretty big expense, you know, and yeah, they might be able to get some support through Medicaid, but is that the kind of facility you want your child in? And so the families are aware of what the different options are, and that, you know, do we need life insurance? And if we do, what is the right type of life insurance and how much? That's where our tool can really help. And we can work with somebody who has a financial advisor and help with their financial advisor figuring out the best solution. Or if you don't have one, we can help you and direct you towards somebody that can help you with those solutions.
And I think that brings a lot of flexibility, especially for those families that don't have a financial advisor, may not want a financial advisor, may be very happy doing it themselves, or may not just be in a position where they need to work, or may, you know, financially, it doesn't make sense to work with a financial advisor. So it's nice knowing Hope Trust is available to do that. And then, you know, and not to beat the drum too heavily on life insurance, I say it because to me, it's the most efficient way to transfer wealth from one generation to the other. Meaning I can give my son $1 million for a lot less than $1 million over the next 30 years. Right. Another way to do it though, is you could say, well, my kid's going to be in a residential facility. So when I sell my house, when I die, I want my house to be sold. And the proceeds from the sale of the house can go into the trust. And Debbie is not trying to say the only solution is life insurance. We both have a background. We're both parents. It is the typically the most inexpensive way, unless you're like me, where, you know, my health has not gotten better. It's gotten worse. So now life insurance is a nightmare for me. But, you know, I don't want to beat the drum on life insurance too heavily. I do want to focus on the fact that, when you go to Hope Trust, you don't have to say, well, wait a minute. I don't have a financial advisor. Does that mean I can't work with you? On the other side of it, I do have a financial advisor. Does that mean you won't work with me? And, you know, I think it's clear, Debbie, that Hope Trust will work with you in either situation.
I also want to point out that I know that many families, I've had so many families sit down and say, I'm embarrassed, or I feel guilty that we haven't done anything in Junior's XYZ. We know we've needed to this whole time. Listen, again, I'm a parent myself. I realize that some days we are trying to get through the next freaking 5 minutes, you know, and sometimes that happens for years. So we do not ever. I don't want anybody to think, okay, well, gosh, I'm so embarrassed to even say, like, my kid's 20 years old and we haven't even started the special needs planning. I don't even know what to do, whatever. We'll sit down with wherever you're at, whether Junior is 2, 20, 50, and let us help you figure out the solution. And again, I realize some people say, hey, I don't even have the capacity right now to even think about this, or, you know, gosh, how overwhelming is it going to be? We realize this process is complex. We realize it can feel overwhelming. And that's really where we help families figure out, okay, you haven't started, or you're at XYZ point, but you still need to get to this other point. We're going to break it down and help you prioritize. Here's the first thing you should work on. If it takes you a week, great. If it takes you 3 months, great. If it takes you 6 months, great. Baby steps, though, progress. So let's get you in a better situation, or addressing that solution, no matter what that is. So, you know, I never want families to not act because they feel guilty or they feel embarrassed that they haven't started. You know what? We've seen everything and everything in between, and it has nothing to do with socioeconomic class whatsoever.
And I'm glad you said that, Debbie. And the other thing I want to highlight is if families aren't sure what they need to do next, you guys are available. Not that you're going to do it, but you have such a broad network of people that, I mean, you know, that you're going to be able to connect the family to either to the resource they need, or somebody else that can get them the resource they need.
Absolutely. We'll do an initial consultation, see where you're at and see where the greatest need is first. And if that is, hey, you really need to talk to, you know, a special needs attorney, we'll let you know. I mean, we're going to tell you what we think is going to make the most sense for your family. For every family, it's going to be completely individualized and different because every situation is so unique.
Awesome. And so I have on the screen, and for those of you listening on the podcast, I will have it in the show notes. I have the contact information. We have the phone number, the email address. I will have the link to the website on the show notes in both the YouTube channel and the podcast. Is there a preference, though, Debbie? Do you find people respond quicker to email? You are on the East Coast. I mean, Hope Trust Corporate is on the East Coast. So
no, we have somebody checking that 24/7. So we have an answering service. Our emails are all, I mean, being in the trust administration services, and our clients potentially could need us at 2 o'clock in the morning. We always have somebody on call that's answering. So whether it's the phone, email, or anything, we're available 24/7, 365.
Awesome. Is there anything, Debbie, that I should have asked you that I didn't ask you, or maybe one or two things you really want to make sure people take home today?
You know, I just want families to know having that initial conversation is progress. It making a conversation with me or scheduling an appointment with me, just so that you can get started. I will tell you, there is so much peace of mind, and that no, it may not all get done in a year. That's okay. You'll feel a heck of a lot better in a year if you've done anything than if you've done nothing. And that can give you so much peace of mind, but it also, as you know, helps your child for the future. And so it is a process. It's complex. It's not a one and done either. This is something you're reviewing on a regular basis, but taking that first step is probably the hardest. And then everything kind of flows from there, and we can go as slow or as quick as those families want, but definitely pick up the phone or send an email and let's get going. Or even if you have a plan, I think that's another thing, is that I think families often don't know what they don't know. And they're like, hey, I took care of that special needs trust thing, and I got that life insurance stuff. We're good. Have somebody review your entire plan. There's probably parts of it that have been overlooked or missed.
Debbie, this has been great. I love the fact that you made the time. I really appreciate you making the time to come on. As a parent, I can tell you, I'm less hesitant to reach out when I can put a name to the face or a face to a company. So thank you very much.
You bet.
Thank you for listening to the ABCs of Disability Planning podcast. We invite your feedback and comments. Please feel free to leave a review wherever you are listening. And don't forget to hit like, follow, and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. If you would like to connect, please email me, eric@specialneedsnavigator.us. If you'd like to learn more about or talk with a guest, please reference the show notes to find the best way to reach them.